verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, let us not neglect, meaning that we are going to make a choice as we do life together. We're going to commit to actually be together in time and space, not through our phones, not infrequently, but frequently. We're going to do that. The average Christian American goes to church 1 to 2 times a month. Mm. Let me just say it. We don't want to be average.
Welcome back to the Grace Church Podcast 2024 edition. My name is Scott Mazingo. I'm your host today, and our goal here is to equip, encourage, and inspire you in your devotion to God and others. And today we have Tanner Corley and Blake Payne with us. Hello, friends. How are we?
Pretty good. How about you?
We're doing good.
Good, good. Hey, why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Tell us a little bit about what you do here at the church and maybe a little bit about your family.
Yeah, I'm Tanner. I lead worship over at the Powdersville campus, and I'm the video director. My wife and 3 kids, we've been here for almost 8 years.
Yeah. And new addition, just had a third child?
Number 3.
Congratulations. Thanks for making time out of your busy schedule to be with here.
That's right.
Be with us here. Blake, what about you?
My name is Blake. I lost my voice this week, so I'm going to sound amazing this whole time. So it's probably not the podcast cutting out. It's probably just my voice.
Probably just you?
Yeah. But I work here at Pelham, and I've been on staff for about 8 years.
Wow.
And I also have 3 kids. We have 3 daughters, as many of you know.
Girl dad?
That's what we do. One thing is certain. We make girls.
Well, I'm really excited for this conversation. Our topic, I didn't mention that earlier, but we are discussing Faithfully Gathered, which is a reworking of a core value. You would have heard this from the stage recently in a vision piece. And so we want to just tell you a little bit more about how that language came to be. And just kind of catch you up on some thoughts and further some thoughts on that. So Tanner, why don't you take the lead and just tell us a little bit about how we got here.
Yeah, so about a year ago, there's a group of us that were going through a class, Blake included, and we were tasked with a ministry project, kind of look around at the church and see where we could put some energy and maybe some time. And so this is not necessarily a new idea, but something that's kind of been in the works for a long time. But kind of got started thinking about worship. How does worship intersect with our core values? It is a value for us, but it's not really talked about in foundations. And so it kind of got started there. And Scott, me and you, we talked about it a little bit early on. And just trying to see how that kind of was going to intersect our core values.
So you guys are in a kind of a pastoral leadership, kind of a training class covering a lot of different topics. And one of those is to look at an area of our church that you feel like needs to be addressed or some additional work done or just some thoughts, something that you care about. And so with your background in worship, you're like, okay, where does this fit? How do we communicate this as a value?
Absolutely.
Is that kind of fair to say?
Yeah.
And then where did that journey, where did that take you? Where did it lead you?
Yeah, a lot of conversations. With a lot of different people. Just trying to ask that question of how do you think that worship intersects our core values? As we kind of look back over the past couple years, COVID was a big part of kind of helping kickstart what all this was. And just
COVID, what was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know we're tired of talking about it, but it has been 4 years since it started, but it really was a big changer for a lot of things. And so church included. And so what were we seeing coming back a couple of years ago, coming out of COVID, that was informing the way you were thinking about what our gatherings look like?
We were starting to see that the value of gathering started to decrease. And as the role of technology started to increase and how that, we were good to use that technology to consume on our own terms, to get sermons and quote unquote be gathered together or be a part of something without actually being in space with people. couple things that we noticed coming out of COVID were that we had spent a bunch of money on tents in order to have services outside and have a safe service. And then we also had an online service, and we felt that as we started to come back, that it was actually deterring some people, and they were good to have service on their own terms and be at home and not come back and be in service with other believers. And then one other thing is all across the upstate, almost every Sunday, we have groups of people going into assisted living communities and bringing services there. And so you start putting all those things together, and we started to realize that this idea of faithfully gathering is way more than just what is happening on a Sunday morning. And so we saw that we actually lacked some language around it. This is already a core value for us. This is always already something that we're valuing. And so it just lacks some clarity. And so that was what part of why we started working on all this.
So as you began to connect the dots, how does some of this language start to form, Tanner?
The initial idea that I brought to the leadership team was to add a core value, add faithfully gathered to the six core values that we already had.
Right.
And as I was kind of explaining it, Schofield piped in, and he said, he's like, how does that intersect with relationally connected?
Right.
And so that conversation started happening, and we started to think about how that might play into even meeting in smaller groups, not just meeting together on a Sunday or Saturday night service,
yeah.
but how does that this value actually encapsulate some of what relationally connected was talking about?
Yeah, because I think Bill made the statement that the Bible doesn't really differentiate between large gatherings, medium sized gatherings,
right.
small gatherings. It's talking about the gathering of God's people,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, the relationally connected language. I was a part of helping shape some of that, and it has been 20 years. So I'll speak as the only person that wasn't in middle school in the room 20 years ago.
You could just say old.
Yeah. No,
okay.
No.
I'm just trying to help
kids.
You out.
No.
Language, we could save some time here.
No. So, but it's interesting that the same idea that we just talked about, the expression of individualism, the version of that 20 years ago was, I don't need other people. It's just me and Jesus.
Right.
Me and God and my quiet time and my Bible and my prayer life. That's all I need. And if I can get in a good church where there's some good teaching, mm-hmm. then that is all I need to really grow spiritually. And so we had to help people think, no, God put relationships together. God brought together the community of faith for a reason. And God has always worked with a corporate aspect. You know, God called a people together when he called Abraham to form a nation. When we get to the New Testament, God's talking to churches. We just read those primarily letters individually. And that's our fault. That's our misreading, that God has always spoke to groups of people, and that the Spirit has a fuller expression when you have all these different gifted individuals that come together and they gather together. And so we were working really hard to reclaim that 20 years ago, that community wasn't just icing on the cake, that it was a big part of the cake. It was a big part of how we experience God. And so fast forward, it doesn't seem to be such a new idea anymore. In fact, that idea of being connected, maybe we're overconnected now in yeah. some ways, less helpful, but we have these types of digital connections and all types of relationships and friendships. And so it just felt like that language maybe had run its course a little bit. And I think that's where we got to, let's take the faithfully gathered and let's do a little bit of replacement language with relationally connected.
Yeah. Because it's almost assumed that you would be relationally
yes.
connected at a church.
Exactly.
Nowadays.
It is. That's what drives a lot of people, honestly, to church. They might enjoy the singing, mm-hmm. which we have great singing. They might enjoy the teaching. But a lot of folks are in need, or they notice the need that they have for relationships. So they come to the church looking for those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we're defining what kind of relationships those need to be, not just friendships, but spiritual friendships. But yes, to your point, it's all under this banner of what does it mean to come and be faithfully gathered.
Yeah, I get a chance to work with a lot of our new folks that are coming in.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. I mean, just the last discovery we did this last month, we probably had 51 people. And it's interesting, 71%, about 70 to 71% of the folks in there were from out of state, not from Greenville, but not even from South Carolina.
Wow.
So that's interesting. The other thing that's interesting is most everybody that comes in here, the first thing that they say, like the initial desire, which I think this is a good desire, but it is, hey, I want to be connected. I want community. And so it's funny, like, and then they say, we want to be in group. And I'm like, well, how do y'all even know we have groups? Like, it's just to your point, it's just this assumption
yeah.
that this is what y'all do, and I'm sure y'all have groups, and that's what I want to do. And obviously we believe in people knowing each other, doing life together. But the other thing I would add too about the reworking, updating of the language is that we also had some people that would have told you they were relationally connected.
Right.
But we're actually missing some components of God's view on gathering and actually what it really means to be connected.
Right.
And whether that meant reducing relationally connected to friendships or relationships that produce certain outcomes, whether that was networking or business, or I go to church with people that I work with, whatever that meant. We also thought that people that had that language in there were still missing something.
Sure. That's right. So let's spend a little bit of time just talking about that. Like when we say faithfully gathered, what do we mean?
Mm. Yeah, it's a good question. You know, when I think about that from a biblical perspective, before I even jump into my own thoughts, trying to let the scriptures really speak to this.
Yeah.
I think about Hebrews 10. And it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. That's the first half. And then right after that, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so when I think about it from a biblical perspective, it seems like the authors of the scriptures, you said it earlier, as they're writing to these local churches, have to continually remind people, hey, don't neglect. Hey, don't neglect. Whatever you're doing, don't neglect. Which is interesting. It means that even back then, so COVID highlighted it for us.
Right.
But it didn't create the problem. The problem's been around for a long time.
Right.
And even in this church, whoever this writer of Hebrews is speaking to, he's saying, don't forget, don't neglect, which teaches me this. It teaches me that even back then, they would have had reasons, whether legitimate or illegitimate, that were causing them to not be together.
Right.
And apparently, that is not working.
Yeah. Spirituality on my terms seems to be a condition that humanity has always struggled with.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jesus has a lot of thoughts for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you put a group of people together, it would make sense that that would have to be something that they would be reminded of.
That's right. So when I think about faithfully gathering, I think I start actually with seemingly a human condition that naturally we wander away.
Right.
Naturally, we are people that are going to get distracted, that are going to get swept up into multiple reasons, multiple things that give us reasons to not be together. And I think you have two sides of a spectrum. Like on one side of a spectrum, like we have a lot of people in our church that are going through difficult times, that are suffering.
Right.
And I mean, we all know this about suffering. Like suffering can produce two results. It can produce an unbelievable faith and hope and trust, or it can create doubt and fear and can push you away. And so I don't know if that's what would have been happening for them. Probably more so that's true for them. They would have been dealing with difficult things. He's right. Trying to tell them to hang on keep your hope, right? Even though you're suffering, like, we got to still be faithful. So suffering's one side. I think it's one thing that pushes people away from gathering. The other end is success. Mm. So we got a lot of successful people. And with success comes opportunity, comes weekend events, comes you name it. And all of those things that success brings to our life, good things, right? God wants them to have gifts oftentimes from Him. But they're things that can create distraction and distance from us, from being with God's people. And if it was a problem for these folks, and if it didn't work for these folks, I think it's not going to work for us either. Whether you're in the middle of a trial or whether you're in the middle of the, you know, the most successful season of your life, like, we have to make sure that we are orienting ourselves, coming back to the middle and calibrating ourselves around other believers. And so when I think about faithfully gathering, I think about a value that helps us prioritize something that would be a natural temptation.
Yeah, that's a really, really good framework. And we always want to make sure that we use the word orientation when we talk about being biblically oriented. We want to conform our lives to the scriptures. And so, Tanner, what are a couple of other verses as you put together this language that informed so the folks can go and even do some study on their own?
Yeah, I mean, you go to Acts 2, and in verse 42 it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers." And then later on in Colossians, he says, "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill their lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." And so you got to think, in Colossians, I mean, they're not singing alone. And he's talking, like you said, he's talking to a group of people, and he's encouraging them. Hey, get together and counsel one another, encourage one another, give wisdom, sing together. And it's just another, later also it talks about being baptized, communion in Corinthians. I mean, just these, also these sacraments that we have, they're done in the context of the body.
Yeah.
And so these are all biblical grounds for meeting together, being together.
I love it. Love it. So it does beg the question, though, faithful is a loaded word.
Mm. It's one of the biggest problems with language is when you assume you mean the same thing.
Right.
So what we mean when we say faithful, let me give you two layers of it that I think can kind of help encompass the full framework of how we're thinking about it. One layer would be committed. And that word's pretty self-explanatory, right? Just verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, "Let us not neglect."
Yeah.
Meaning that we are going to make a choice as we do life together. We're going to commit to actually be together in time and space, not through our phones, not infrequently, but frequently. We're going to do that. The average Christian American goes to church 1 to 2 times a month. Mm. Let me just say, we don't want to be average.
Yeah.
As a church, we have bigger sights than that. We have bigger vision than that.
So we would not consider that to be committed.
No, we would not say that is being committed. We would say that is frequent at best.
Yeah.
And probably not enough for you to experience the blessings of this. Because here's what I would say. You might hear faithfully gathered and think, man, they expect a lot. And we do. But the reason we expect a lot is because, like, God uses this and brings blessing in our life.
Right.
We don't care about our numbers. We're not trying to check boxes.
Right.
We're not trying to track you as you walk in. Like, we're trying to say, like, what does it take for you to experience the benefit of being in God's kingdom? And faithful means being committed, which means probably more than once a month.
Right. Yeah. It means you're putting a value on it. It means that you're backing that value up with your time. You know, I think about families. I think about sports. You know, mm-hmm. if you have a child playing a sport and they went to 1 out of every 4 practices.
Yeah.
2 out of every 4 practices. 1, they'd be missing out on a lot. And 2, they probably wouldn't be growing very much in this skill in the sport that you have designated as important for them.
I coached AAU basketball like 5 years ago. My team, they didn't miss any practice. It was fascinating. I had a kid drive 2 hours every night, every time we practiced.
Right.
He never missed.
To be a part of a team.
That's right.
And when we're talking about a faithful gathering of church folks, I mean, how much more important is it to be spiritually minded with brothers and sisters in Christ, doing life together, being conformed to the image of Christ, which is not easy, and seeing the need that we have for each other, seeing this kind of kingdom and eternal purpose. I mean, that's not just church talk, folks. I mean, that is really what we're trying to do as we devote ourselves to Christ and to one another. And we're just calling out what's obvious is that we need each other.
Right. And our average church service is 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Right.
If you just strip it all back, just the notion that I can give 3 hours a month to my church experience.
Right.
And it be beneficial. It's just not a great notion to start with, you know? And I mean, I even think on a relational level, like I heard this a long time ago. I think Matt said it. Just there's no such thing as quality time. You can't ensure that the time you set aside for that date night to trap door to get that. Well, if you go to trap door, it's almost guaranteed quality time. But like, you know, I mean, who knows what's going on the date night? It might have taken everything you had just to get out of the door and you got in a fight right before you left.
Right.
So it's going to take 1.5 hours just to get back on each other's good side. You know, and then the date's over because you can't pay for childcare anymore. So the idea of quality time is just, it's a little bit of a facade.
Yeah, it's a misnomer.
What you can ensure, though, is that the more accurate way to ensure relationship quality is just quantity time. Yeah. Over time, when you do it and do it again, one of the dates is going to work.
Yeah, we need reps.
We need reps. And I think the way that we treat people and relationships in the church, like, you never know the Sunday that God has something for you that's going to move the needle. You never know when the Spirit's going to show up, or you never know the time you're going to walk into the lobby and meet the person that just moved here from Atlanta with a special needs daughter. And guess what? You have a special needs daughter. And that's going to start a relationship that leads to 10, 20 years of doing life together. You just never know when that's going to happen. And so I think that's where us being committed, it just gives everybody in this whole thing, this whole experiment, a better chance to really catch momentum, and then it creates space for God to show up. So that would be layer one, committed.
Yeah.
The second layer, faithful, would be engaged. And so verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So we don't want to just assume, we just said a whole lot about committed.
Right.
But here's the slight nuance that I think is worth saying. We don't just want to assume that by you coming, that all that we just said is going to happen.
Right.
It's got to be more than just being here. And being faithful, being committed is no doubt half of the equation. But this idea of engagement is the other half. And we're not making this up. Like, the New Testament is just littered with the hows of what it means to be together, of what it looks like to engage. It doesn't just say show up, right? There's 59 one another's in the Bible. And the phrase occurs about 100 times in the New Testament.
Say that one more time. How many
one another? There are 59 one another's, meaning there are 59 different commands of ways that we need to actually engage each other. And that idea of one another comes up about 100 times in the New Testament. So God doesn't just care about us gathering. He cares about how we gather.
Yeah.
So let me give you a couple. Just, I think that'll help frame this out. When we say faithful, here's what we mean. We mean that we're committing, and when we're here, we're confessing sin to each other. We're praying for each other. We're serving one another. We're loving one another. We're bearing each other's burdens. And I mean, there's a ton more, but let me just pick on that last one for a second. Like, if you are committed, but you're not bearing anybody's burdens, then I would say you're missing out.
Yeah.
And the same is true. If you're committed and you're coming, but you've not really opened up your life in any way for somebody to bear your burdens, then your shoulders are heavier than they need to be.
Right.
And so being faithful is about far more than just coming. It's about doing life with God's people while we follow Jesus together. And I think that idea of being committed and engaged, if we can strive for that, I think it will unlock a new version of church, which is why I think the language is great. Good work, Tanner. And if you're wondering, man, that sounds like a productive ministry project. All the other ministry projects, they all failed in comparison to Tanner's
because
he took over a core value. So I'm not even going to tell you about mine because it was, you know, it was humiliating, but good for him. But that language, like that faithfully gathering, it will unlock for us new potentials.
Well, and I love what you're talking about because you're talking about raising the level of expectation and anticipation of what God wants to do when his people come together.
That's right.
And I think we just have really, really low kind of individual consumeristic standards. And we have to be able to match God's desires with our own desires.
Mm-hmm.
So that means we have to take on the mind of Christ, see other people the way he sees them as image bearers. We have to be willing to see our need that can be met by other folks. And we have to be able to give and receive. And for a lot of us, it's a lot easier to give than it is to receive.
Correct.
However, a lot of times we're giving on our own terms and we're not really giving in abundance. And that's because I don't think we're really good at receiving.
Mm.
And if we were better at receiving, then I think we would be more likely to give in abundance and not just give a percentage that we feel good to give. And I'm not talking financially at all. I'm talking about our time. I'm talking about our influence. I'm talking about our expertise. I'm talking about just sitting with people that that just need love and care. I'm talking about having your schedule disrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that is part of what it means to, I think, to be faithful and to have the same expectations for our gatherings that God has when we gather.
No doubt. Yeah, and the other piece is that I think you have to think about, Tanner was talking about worship earlier. I think, in my experience, responding to what God has for you is always incremental. And I think that's one of the pitfalls of, I don't know, let's just say modern American churches, that we can come and create this unbelievable experience where my whole life gets uprooted and I'm on fire for Jesus and, you know?
Yeah.
I do services all the time. They just don't normally work that way.
Right.
Maybe for one person out there or two people out there. But usually what happens is we start a series in the book of James. And by the end of the series, I got two things that God's not let me let go of.
Right.
And so it's slow, it's incremental. And that's where I think the faithful gathering piece is so important, is because it's just going to be hard to hear if we're not here. And it's going to be hard to move if we're trying to go at a super expedited pace,
yeah.
Because movement just doesn't normally happen like that. It's slower and it's more incremental.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's why it's important that the New Testament calls us to baptism and communion. Both of those things are done within a community of people. They're done with one another. And you're witnessing a baptism. That's what it is. It's a public confession, going, dying, coming back up. I mean, and then communion, getting around a table with other believers. It's a meal together, fellowship. It's all of that. And so both of those things that God has given us are to be done together with one another, to your point, Blake.
Yeah, so when we're eating a meal, we're not eating alone.
We're not.
We're eating with a spiritual family. When we are being baptized, we're not exclaiming our individual relationship with God. We're also being baptized into a community of faith. That's
right.
Why it's public. That's why it was a public witness. Yeah, no, I think this is great because you're seeing, hopefully, all these pieces come together of it's things that we're already doing, but we're trying to put some language that, what's the importance of language? One is it gives you confidence. It gives an explanation, but it really gives you confidence. And then when you see it happening on a week after week basis, you're like, yes, that is what we are striving to do, striving to be, is a faithfully gathered group of folks.
Yeah. When I think about, this is not my definition. I stole it a couple of years ago. Just the idea of culture. Who are we? And the definition for culture was people like us do things like this. Mm-hmm. And, I want us to be a church where we could say people like us faithfully gather.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Anything else, guys, as we seek to close this?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, one thing about this idea of us even reworking, updating a core value, I mean, we're just trying to be faithful to Jesus. And whatever that takes from now into eternity, like as long as Grace Church exists, I am excited to be a part of a place where we are willing to key in on the right things, make the appropriate changes so that we can call ourselves to the right things, you know. And one day we'll be old like you, Scott, and we'll probably come back and change Faithfully Gathered in 15 years because it'll need to be changed. But until then, it's just it really represents the fact that we're trying to pay attention and we're trying to follow God right now, and we're trying to fight against the temptations that we have right now so that we can be faithful right now, and then we'll just trust God to take that and bless us and do with it what he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, thanks, guys. Enjoyed this discussion. Hopefully, you guys see a little bit of how decisions are made and how language is formed. And really, it's just a desire to... All of our core values are really built around the idea of what is faithful expression of following Jesus. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are firmly saying that you can't follow Jesus well unless you're committed to faithfully gathering.
Right.
And so hopefully that'll be an encouragement to you as we look at our own schedules, as we look at our own priorities, as we look at our own lives, and maybe we all be better at doing that this year. So
yeah.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Good work, Tanner.